14 podcast is brought to you by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sports book. And let's talk personal for a second. They're the first brand that recognized Gate 14. They're the first brand that jumped on the ship that Gate 14 is. So make sure you download Sports Interaction today. Support the Gate 14 boys. Bet the Gate 14 parlays every single week. We're there for live streams every Tuesday. Now let's kick it to the podcast.
All right. We are back. We talked to you guys 3 days ago. I don't know if we're that optimistic when we talked to you guys 3 days ago, but I want to make this clear. Fuck Dome from Home. I'm out on Dome from Home. I'm out on it, Avery. Bad luck.
0-3 in Dome from Home. And I am shocked that today's a Dome from Home game because you got an off day tomorrow. You're only going to Washington. You take rest away from your players. I think today's Dome from Home was dumb.
It was dumb. You can't rush greatness and you can't push greatness. And that is what they did today. They rushed Dome from Home. Now the Jays are going to not play for over 48 hours now, right, Avery, pretty much? They're not playing until 7 o'clock Friday.
Yeah,
so it's like, I don't know where I'm at with that. I might be out on it. They got to at least cancel it. I know there's going to be a million more Dome from Homes, and the record's not looking great for the Toronto Blue Jays so far, but all seriousness, man, Avery, how are you feeling, man? Where are you at right now?
I was rock bottom on the weekend, and I just don't think I'm there anymore. I'm not there. I think I realize I always hate when I say this. Dude, we have 5 more months left of baseball, and we're 2 games under 500. What was it, 2 years ago where this team struggled to, like, was at 500 until they fired Charlie Montoyo?
And they made the playoffs.
Exactly. So I hate how it has started. You face some really good teams. Hasn't gone our way. It's been tough sledding. The numbers look horrible. People are ready to blow it up. We're a month into the season. I'm no longer in. This is the worst shit I've ever watched, even though the last 2 games could be up there in the worst shit I've ever watched.
Well, yeah. No, like, our crowd and Blue Jays fans are very reactionary, and rightfully so, I guess.
I think every baseball fan is
reactionary. Yeah, and this is where I'm at with this. Like, I'm going to speak for the voice of reasoning for the people that are very angry right now. We watch this every day, and we watched it every day last year. I know, albeit they made the playoffs last year, but they waddled their way into the playoffs. Like, they went in ass backwards into the playoffs. It was a tough brand of baseball to watch to make the playoffs with. But my God, has this been, I'm currently speaking of right now, has this been horrific to watch? Like, the at-bats, when the other team scores 2 or 3 runs, you're like, uh-oh, this shit might be over, folks. It's a depressing brand of baseball, and that, there's nothing wrong with saying that.
Yeah. I think the thing that will always get fans down is how your team hits with runners in scoring position. It's, you seem like you have a chance, a runner on second, runner second, third. And it's, if you don't score those guys, it is debilitating. It's debilitating for a team. It sucks to watch. Everything goes into not being able to hit with runners in scoring position. And the stat was last night that we saw on the broadcast. Don't know how much it's changed in the last day. They're 14th in the AL in runners in scoring position. Johnny, how many teams are in the American League?
15. There's 15 teams in the American League, Avery. They are second last alone. I believe the Oakland Athletics are ahead of them.
Just record?
No, like with runners in scoring position.
Okay. I can look that up.
Listen, it's tough to watch. I'm going to be a little bit of like glass half full, but I'm going to be also a little bit of glass half empty for this episode.
I did the runners in scoring position numbers. I don't think this counts today. They scored one run and like no one was in scoring position for
the run.
The Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh no.
After.
Oh no.
No, not. I don't think they have 235 plate appearances with runners in scoring position, but their average with runners in scoring position, a whopping 195.
Oh, no.
29th in Major League Baseball. Johnny, how many teams are in Major League Baseball?
There is 30 teams in Major League Baseball confirmed. That is insane. 29th in baseball, dude?
Okay. And the thing that makes no sense to me, it's just a stat. Guess where they rank strikeout percentage with runners in scoring position?
Top 15?
They're like bottom. They strike out the seventh least with runners in scoring position.
So they're just the pop-out merchants.
I mean, they have the lowest batting average on balls in play with runners in scoring position.
Are you kidding me?
A batting average of balls in play of 235 with runners in scoring position. And I know this isn't the stat about power, but they're them and the Pittsburgh Pirates are the only two teams under 100 ISO with runners in scoring position. So they are making contact, and the ball's not going out of the infield is where I'm reading that pretty much.
Oh, man. It's all you can do right now is just kind of sit back and laugh and just be therapeutic with the boys.
You have to. It sucks when your manager does it. Like John Schneider coming out, way to runs created plus is 70 with runners in scoring position.
Oh, my God.
It's not good enough. No one is going to tell you it's good enough. No one on the team would tell you it's good enough. No one in the front office would tell you it's good enough. And we can't sit here and tell you it's good enough. But if you think, I mean, it could happen over a full year. What am I saying? I don't think it's going to be this bad over a full year. I don't think. Maybe I should add in the next year. I'll do that at some point later. And just
the
see.
Only highlight from this series was the fans fucking in the outfield pretty much. On the Corona rooftop, pretty much.
Yeah, it wasn't as good as when they were in the 500s a couple years.
Yeah, well, it was a little bit PG. We've cleaned it up a little bit here on Sportsnet.
You can't win if you don't score runs, guys. Everyone here knows that. You make your pitchers be perfect, and Bassett was close to perfect through five, and then you give up three runs. He's three runs through six,
which again is still not bad for
could
a pitcher.
Give you a really good chance to win a baseball game, right?
There's not really much else to say besides that. It's as a fan, it's really tough to watch. And at this point, I'm just saying to the listeners out there, just have some beers with the boys, or if you don't drink, just sit around, shoot the shit with the fellas. Just have the Jays game on in the background right now. We will let you know when you could feast your eyes back on the Toronto Blue Jays.
We will sound the alarm when it's time to watch
ball. Yeah, we'll sound the alarm when it's time to watch ball, because right now it's just background noise. It should be. It should be just background noise.
Speaking of background noise, we had a little fill-in.
Yeah, Ben Schulman filled in this week for Dan. I have a take on it.
Yeah,
I have a take on it. I think Ben Schulman did a great job. I do think he did a good job. I know some people will disagree with me. Some people will agree with me. What pisses me off is how he got to that position. And I know that's how the world works. Suck it up. Nah. But I know of millions of broadcasters that could be better, could be worse, I'm not sure, that would never get that chance because their father isn't working for the exact same team. And that sucks. But that's unfortunately how the world works. I think a 23-year-old calling a Major League Baseball broadcast blows my fucking mind, personally. But at the end of the day, he was good. I
had no problems. I thought he added some good things. I usually don't watch games with the sound on. And when we're at Sports Interaction, we always have the sound on. So that's one of the first times I'd heard it. And then we were at work today, also listened to the sound on. Thought he added some good points. You're not going to be perfect, man. You can't expect a person to be perfect. And his dad's one of the best broadcasters we've ever heard, who just works for you.
The GOAT. The GOAT.
Sunday Night Baseball calls college basketball national championships, and we get a pretty good broadcast team every time we get out there. So
yeah, it's just nepotism strikes again. The only time nepotism is bad is if it's for a brother like Ben Verlander, who's a waste of a fucking voice in baseball. But other than that, like, I'm fine. You know, nepotism, I guess, is fine. My son will be a nepo product. Our kids will take over the Gate 14 podcast and be nepo products. So at the end of the day, I could just kind of just smile. Jackson Holliday's an Epo product. His daddy didn't help him hit in the major leagues. It's just, again, if you take a step back and you tell people around baseball that we have a 23-year-old commentating nationally televised games, it's bananas at the end of the day.
Really is. Yeah.
And that's not discounting him. He did a great job.
You can't be mad at Ben Schulman, the person, for what has happened to him. He's gotten very lucky, and I think he's talented. So
yeah, he's very talented. It's just it's cooler 100%. If you got
there's people who will grind their dicks off for years and
never get that chance, not
and
even
I
a
think
sub.
That's
in
the thing in like big media too, right? You and I got very lucky starting from nothing and being able to build an audience that's done very well. So I mean, it's hard when you're for a national media company to get in there and do the same thing.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're complaining about who's commentating the game is the least of my concerns right now.
I don't even think we'd say we're complaining.
Yeah, I'm not really complaining. Just he got there because of his dad, and I think the thing is that would piss me off is guys that won't admit that. Like, if he wouldn't come out and be like, "Oh, I know I got this because of my dad," I feel like I'd be like, "Come on, man, let's have a little bit of feel," you know, like Ben Verlander, who thinks he got to where he is not because of his brother. You went to the same school as your brother. You got drafted by the same team as your brother, and you now work in national media while your brother's still in the major leagues. Come on, let's be a little bit of a realist here. I'd be the first to say it if that was my position. I'd be like, yeah, it's fucking cool having a professional athlete brother.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, those are when it pisses me off. But yeah, Dome from Home. Going back to Dome from Home, it's done. It's done. Can't do it. Stop Dome from Home. Say no to Dome from Home. I do not consent.
Yeah, refuse Dome from Home from now on.
Okay, so I wanted to go into something else, Avery, because I know, Johnny's switching subjects. He's so unorganized because this came across my phone, and I want to talk about this. So Avery Chenier, before the podcast, texted me and said, can you text some of your big league buddies, not on the Jays. None of these are Jays players, by the way. These are all big leaguers all around the major leagues. Ask them if hitting coaches in the big leagues make a difference. I texted 5. Luckily, they all answered rapidly, pretty quick. 5 of them said no.
That's
5 of them. 2 of them said, I'll read you what one of them said, but I won't tell you what player it is. Everyone has their hitting guy from home that they talk to. They may try something here or there, but they really don't do shit. That's from a professional baseball player. So for the pitch, like for the people blaming Guillermo, who I love blaming because he's a bum, and the other guys, at the end of the day, it is up to the player. This is from the mouths of professional baseball players I have texted. Like, this is not from some Twitter account. I am asking the source. Not on the Blue Jays, obviously, because I do not want to text them right now, especially about hitting. It is from around the league guys. So just to put you into perspective, the people that are firing the hitting coach, Ross Atkinson hired the good coaches, every single individual player has a hitting guy they work with the entire season and the entire offseason they are talking to every single day. It's not it's not up to the hitting coach. Do you think George Springer is talking to Guillermo Martinez? No fucking chance.
I think he's forced into it, probably.
Yeah, but he's not like, Guillermo's not giving him advice, not giving a World Series MVP advice, not a fucking hit.
That was the answer I thought I was going to get. It's because you do see it on Twitter. Twitter breaks your brain. Twitter's not a real place. And you see the takes all the time. Fire the hitting coach. You see the hilarious video of the guy last year saying fire Martinez. What is a good hitting coach going to do? I guess maybe small tweaks he sees. Pitch selection, game planning for pitchers, I think is probably their best thing that they do. But yeah, it seems like in the off season, they don't really work with Guillermo Martinez, right? You're working.
You think Don Mattingly is texting every single fucking player on this team in the off season?
No, I don't think he is.
No, exactly.
Like, you're going back to your hometown, or you're going to the player development thing. I guess those are the closest guys, people who would work with the Blue Jays to fix their swings in the off season. But you have your swing guy. Aaron Judge went to Teacher Man, for fuck's sakes. Like, Teacher Man is teaching a different swing than any single person in baseball, probably.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's getting your feels right, I think, from your guy is how you're successful. It's a feel-based thing. And we go into now, I want to jump a little bit, like the pulled fly balls situation. I don't think guys can change their profiles year after year to be a ground ball person to just hitting fly balls. It's very hard. Johnny, you played baseball at, like, college baseball is a decent enough level. I mean, I played baseball as well. At no point were you ever thinking, oh, I'm going to leave this pitch that's probably in the strike zone and down. If you think you can hit it, you're hitting the ball, right?
Yeah. You're not like, this is my thing. It's like everyone's saying, we need to turn so-and-so into a pull fly ball guy, pull fly ball guy. I promise you, these hitters are just hitting what pitches are coming at them. If it is in the strike zone, there is a good chance they are hitting it. If you can't elevate a pitch, you're hitting it on the ground. My thing with that is like how easy these Twitter hitting coaches try to make it sound. It's like, Vlad, you get your foot down. Maybe it was an 0-0 count. He was taking the entire way. Vladdy, pull the baseball more in the air. You think he's not trying to fucking do that, dude?
I'm sure he would love to hit 50 home runs again.
Do you think Vladdy is openly saying, I want to go with an approach to hit ground balls? Do you think that?
No.
Like, it's just, I know
at the speed pitches come in as well. How can you even think that? Can you?
No, this is like, again, Vladdy, with him, it is something with his timing, but he has seemed to figure a 6-game hitting streak. He's hitting like 400 his last 7 or 8 games or whatever it is. He's done fine at the plate. He's taking good pitches, making good swings on pitches. He looks fine. Like the discourse about, oh my God, Kirk has to hit more pull fly balls. You think he's not trying to do that? You think Kirk is swinging at a middle in pitch trying to hit it the other way?
No. There's a reason why the ground ball leaders are very similar year after year. Because it's really hard to do. And pitch selection is really hard to change.
It is.
You have done the same thing your whole life. You go up there, your brain tells you if you think you can hit it. It just happens. Your body moves. It's like, oh, okay. Like, taking pitches in the strike zone seems to be an impossible task because you should think you can hit everything in the strike zone, right?
Yes. Like, you can't. You know your go zones. You know your go zones in early counts. Like, I'm going to leave this ball down.
You have to be insanely disciplined to leave pitches in the strike zone that you think you can't hit.
Unless it's an 0-0 count and you're just trying to get the first pitch strike out of the way. That's the only way I kind of see it.
And like, I think, like, the thing that clicked for me, I've known this for a while. This isn't a new revelation for me. I'm not saying I'm totally right. But ump cam coming back for the Jays games made me, like, this point just come to my head. They're just hitting what they think they can hit. And it just happens. Like, I don't, if the ball's down low, they're going to put their swing on it. If it goes on the ground, oh man, okay, we're just doing it again. So I think hitting seems a lot easier on Twitter than it is in real life.
Well, that's what pissed me off, is you have the guys who have never played a fucking ounce of baseball in their life, ever.
Which is okay. You can still have takes.
No, I know. You can still have takes.
Yes.
But they are bringing up hitting mechanics that they think that they aren't talking about on the big league level.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that if Vladdy was his timing was late, no one's saying that to him?
Yeah, or
Kirk, but thank God this guy said it on Twitter.
Yeah. Do you think the hitting coaches are seeing Kirk move closer to the plate from Thomas Hall and say,
I promise you,
Kirk, you need to do that.
Like, it just, the hitting coaches stuff is, I understand criticizing the team and I get that. But everyone is a hitting coach now. Like, and it's so annoying, and it's such a toxic part of Twitter that these guys think they could just fix Vladdy. It's like, yep, I saw the tweet, now I'm fixed. And get my timing down.
It's not like we haven't tried our hand at it. Like, you try.
No, I've talked about the timing aspect. I've never said, like, oh my, and what the verbiage I say with it, like, it might be a mechanic thing, it might be a timing thing. I don't know. I'm not a fucking hitting coach. This could have been a different approach. But to post a video of a guy on an 0-0 count or whatever count it was, potentially timing it up when you're not knowing the hitter's thoughts or where the base runners are or anything like that, and just saying, yep, timing, that's it. Figured it out. That's Vladdy's problem. Why has no one mentioned this to him? Come on. Come on, dude. Like, let's be real here for a second.
Yeah, still an above league average hitter, weighted runs created plus wise, all those years.
Yes.
So
yes, it's frustrating.
That's kind of the shit I'm on these days. Is hitting a baseball is insanely hard, and
it's hard for everyone in the big leagues. 100%. I'm not.
Yeah. It's some people are better at it than others, which we know.
And unfortunately, we got a team full of hitters right now that aren't good at it. That's all the only way to – the only guy that's good at it is Davis Schneider, Ernie Clement, and Danny Jansen.
And those Justin the only Turner. Guy.
And Justin Turner, sorry. Oh, my God, I forgot the king. That's it. And like the team is going through a menstrual cycle together. They are slumping as a unit. I think they will figure this out, but I am going to go off of emotions right now and solely say this. If I took a week break from watching this team, I don't think I'd lose a minute of sleep. For example, if we went to bed if we stopped watching from before last Friday to this Friday against Patrick Corbin, by the way, I swear to God, if they don't match Patrick Corbin, what would we have missed?
Six.
What?
Six runs.
Yeah, six runs. God forbid. We got over the mountain, but I don't know. It's like, it's a weird spot to be in as a fan right now, because it is. I get the early aspect, but it's also the offense did this for an entire year before this.
100%.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I can't tell anyone you're an idiot if you're half panicked about what has gone on. It sucks for everyone involved. Feels like we
said it all of last year, Avery, right? Like, they'll figure it out, and they never really did, right? Like,
you can be unlucky for a full season.
Yes.
That can happen. You don't want it to, but it's in the cards to be unlucky for a full season. And I don't think they're getting unlucky.
I don't think they are. I just think they're just not putting together good – they're not stringing together at-bats together.
And that's the thing. It is so hard to put together four singles in Major League Baseball. That's why hitting for extra bases is so sought after at this point.
Yes, and they struggle with that. I wanted to talk about a guy. We talked about this on Sunday. George Springer is regressing at an insane amount. I know he struggles in April. I know that's what his player profile is. But I just want to bring up some stuff here with George Springer, his five seasons thus far with the Blue Jays, okay? First year, OPS, 907, great. Second year, 814, a little bit of regression there. Third year, 732, and this year, 617, and he's only getting older. Where do you put this guy in the lineup? And John Schneider, by the way, saying they're going to pitch in the same way we talked about Sunday. Yeah, they're going to pitch in the same, but he's going to get less at-bats if he's hitting 7, 8, or 9.
He's not
hitting leadoff and getting the most at-bats while he's doing this. Where do you put him in the lineup, and where are you at here with George Springer? Sorry.
I don't know where I'm at with him. So we can go by monthly weighted runs created plus in his career.
Okay.
108 is his lowest, and that's the first month. And then his May is traditionally his best month, where he's 154.
Okay. So
if we get a bad May,
then you hit the panic button.
I'm starting to ask some questions for sure. I just don't love him stapled to the top spot.
Yes.
I think we have some better options at this point. Like, Davis Schneider can turn into a version of George, hitting home runs, getting on base, not running as much as George would. I think it's not a horrible thing for him to kind of look. And I think it might help George too, being bumped down a little bit. Like, have some pop in the bottom of the order that they don't really
have.
Well,
it also takes the pressure off him, man. Because, like, you got to get on for Vladdy and Bo.
Just think about this. You go up, you start every single game. And if you punch on three, immediately first thought in the head, oh, shit. Like, here we go again.
Let him get settled.
Same mental spot. Yeah, the top three, I would move around temporarily. It doesn't need to be a full long-term thing. You're getting poor production to start this season from George and Bo. So
yes,
I think splitting them up would help them at some point and help the team at some point.
Yes.
I mean, if they don't do it, you pray that they figure it out and you have your three best hitters. You have your three best hitters in the top three spots, getting the most at bats. That makes sense. They're not the three best hitters right now at this.
This
point.
Is my, and Avery, this is where I'm at with, this is where I'm at with the leadoff spot. Like this, this is who I think should be leading off. Let me give you, let me pull some of this stuff up here. Cause like, I think this would benefit the team solely based on the fact that he sees a million pitches when he is at the plate. I think Davis Schneider should be leading off for this team. I really do. Good bat to ball skills, gets deep into counts. Looking at his Fangraphs here, 25% walk rate. He's a bitch to face. Like he is hard. He is a hard at bat. His weighted runs created plus is 128. He's hitting the ball well. I think Davis Schneider, I think this team would benefit from Davis Schneider throwing, maybe potentially throwing him in that leadoff spot.
25% walk rate?
Yeah.
That can't be true, right? I have him here on
Fan. Oh, sorry. 10. Yeah, I read the wrong 10. Thing. Yeah, 10. Sorry.
George is at 10 as well.
Yes. But like George is also, his at-bats are, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do think Davis Schneider would benefit hitting in this leadoff spot for this
so
team. And he's playing it.
We can just look at OBP as well.
338.
Davis is 338. George is 297.
Yes. So again, like Davis Schneider in the leadoff spot with a 338 on base percentage is going to give you more production than George Springer, who's at a 290 clip for an on base percentage. And Davis Schneider, we talk about this, man. I don't know if there, where we could pull the stats up on this to see how many average pitches he sees per at bat, but he gets really, really deep into counts. He does. That's just his MO. And if you look at, and here's another thing, Avery, that could sell you on this. Davis Schneider, similar batters to Davis Schneider in 2023, Kyle Schwarber. That guy leads off, and Davis Schneider is faster than Kyle Schwarber.
Yep.
It's not a bad idea. It's not.
So Justin Turner sees the sixth most pitches per plate appearance.
There's in baseball?
Yes. There's a real possibility that he could also be the answer there.
It's just you got to switch something up at the top of the order. I love George Springer. I do. He was one of the guys, the first big dogs to sign here. I pissed my pants for him, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
But you got to switch it up, man. And John Schneider being stubborn and not switching it up is really what's aggravating me on it. And our listeners, I know some people have come up with the idea that our front office makes the lineup. That's not true. That has been debunked. I was listening to a show the other day. And apparently through multiple sources as well, I've asked all people, the front office provides the stats that they want John Schneider to see. They provide the stats and all the numbers, and John Schneider makes a lineup based off of what he thinks. They don't tell him to do this. They don't tell him for the bullpen. They don't tell him who to bring in. They don't tell him the starting pitching stuff anymore. They've been more hands off with the analytics side of it, and they let John Schneider manage. So this is a product of John Schneider just not moving him out of the top spot.
Agreed. I'm on board with you there. I think it can be mutually beneficial to move George out for right now.
Yes.
And yeah, I think there's some Davis or Justin Turner. Justin Turner, I'm less on board with because he is the best guy with runners in scoring position on the team, I believe.
Yes.
So I don't really want him out of there. Runners in scoring position. Let's see how they are so far this season. The best player with runners in scoring position. What do you want? Just average wise.
Yeah.
Justin Turner, Bo Bichette, best with runners in scoring position, both hitting .304.
Okay. I would love to try.
Oh my
I would love
God,
to see
Vladdy runners in scoring position 133.
Yeah, that's not going
to
cut it.
That's where all these things just intertwine with each other to not scoring runs.
Yeah.
IKF it sucks. Is up there pretty good. Yeah. No, there is four players over .250 with runners in scoring position.
That's not great. And again, like it's not, you think these guys don't want to hit runners scoring position? Like
yeah,
it's not, it's not a different aspect of a game they're hitting at the end of the day. Like maybe they're getting pitched too different. I'm not sure, but it's just an entire team that just can't drive runners in right now. And it's very frustrating to watch as a fan. It is. It's very, very tough to watch.
I'm totally on board with you there. When you watch this team, when do you know they're back? What is something you desperately want to see from them? Like, just change immediately. Obviously, they can't necessarily do it, but what do you need to see?
I think getting pitchers out of the games earlier. I mean, we got Cole Ragans in the seventh. Today, Seth Lugo went deep into the game. Like, these starting pitchers are going deep into games and minimizing their bullpen use against the Toronto Blue Jays. That's when I'm going to be like, okay, they're a little bit now starting to figure it out at the plate.
And I thought they did that in the Yankees series really well.
Yes.
I have a thing where I need to see this team run more. I know they don't have a lot of guys who can do it. The small guys we need to be running more.
Like, you got to get on base for that, though.
100%. And when you and when you're not getting on base a lot, you don't necessarily want to take yourself off the base paths. But if you just look at stolen bases, they've only been caught stealing three times. That's the second least in baseball. You need to put some hit and runs on. You got to try and get creative. I know how hard it is when I've helped coach and you can't create offense you swing through a hit and run and got Kirk out by 100 feet as well. So I think trying some things on the offensive side, there's some good bat to ball guys in the bottom, like Ernie, IKF, hit and runs. I think we need to kind of tap into that some more. And that goes better when you're hitting. You're 100% right with that, but trying to be a little creative. We need the offensive coordinator to do a little more coordinating.
Yes. Yes. And
did you see the quote with like Ted Williams and him?
And Don?
Yeah.
What was it?
From a long time ago. And was it Ted Williams? I think it was. And Ted was like, I wanted to make all my outs in the air. Like, I wanted to hit fly balls. And Don Mattingly said he wanted to make all his outs on the ground. And it's just like, yeah, I know.
And little does he know, 30 years later, it's coming up.
Like 40 years later, it's doing the same thing. You can't fault a guy for thinking what he wants to think when he's playing. Don Mattingly was a pretty damn good baseball player in his time. It's just like, yeah, things aren't going well hitting the ball on the ground. And then you see Jano just pull everything in the air.
Jano rocks, man.
Sign that guy to a deal.
Oh, my God. Danny Jansen is the epitome of who I wish I was a hitter and who I wish a team had just nine of. Fuck it. I'm pulling everything. I know my strength is pulling baseballs. I'm not even looking the other way. I am going to be sitting early on a fastball or being a little bit early on a breaking ball because I'm sitting on a fastball and just pulling it. Fuck it. That's what Danny Jansen is. And he is truly such an awesome at-bat because he is a power hitter that this team desperately, desperately needs.
Yeah,
he'd be leading the team in home runs if he played all year. Easily.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm just looking. Three caught stealings, 16 stolen bases.
But I also wanted to talk about, and speaking about some touchy subjects here, man, 2B1 has not been good. I know he's true RGM's guy, and I know he's our guy, but we're seeing right now the bun of the sandwich. He's bad at the start of the year, good in the middle, bad at the end. We're seeing the bun. Kevin Biggio's last 15 games, he's hitting 154 with a 298 on base and a 205 slugging. 16 strikeouts in 39 at-bats. That is what you get when you're a very passive hitter, right?
Yeah. Like I said it as a joke in our group chat, of course. Like we're gonna see the 2 week stretch where I think Kevin Biggio couldn't start on the high school baseball team.
Yes, and
which
we're
is obviously not true, but he's passive, taking strike on a 3-2 count, taking strike three where it doesn't look like the bat's ever gonna get off the shoulder. He goes through these stretches. It's the Kevin Biggio experience. Haven't taken the step up from changing that. We're gonna get this from Kevin. Maybe limit some playing time in the short term here. I think he'll hit his way out of it at some point. But he was really aggressive, it felt like, at the start.
I will say I am happy they have switched that role to Schneider's now. Schneider's playing every single day. And that's good for this team.
Yeah. You need to do that when some people are struggling. And the top three haven't. You don't do that with the top three we have. But those are some good changes that are being made.
Where do you think Vogelbach is? Let's do over under. Is Daniel Vogelbach still a Toronto Blue Jay by the All-Star break? Gun to your head.
I'd say no, probably.
I don't think so either.
He's doing what he's brought in to do. I don't. Like, I just think.
He's too passive. And when you're not seeing a lot of pitches and when you're sitting a lot, you got to swing. I mean,
he's
I know that.
He's in a thankless job as well.
Yes.
You hit once a week, and then it doesn't go well. And everyone's like, why are you even fucking here? It's like, well, I don't know. I didn't really get my chance to show why I'm here. I just think he's gone because they desperately need, like, Orelvis or someone to bring up. Or Horwitz is pushing at a point where his OPS is 1,100. And it's like, okay, we need these guys here. So,
do you think Horwitz would be good in this role?
I don't think any young guy should be subjected to the Daniel Vogelbach role that he's in right now.
It's a tough role.
It isn't. It would do no good. No one I want under the age of 28 doing that role now. If you're in the minors,
it's a tough role to have, where it's like you're hitting in the cage, you're hitting off the machine, but you're not hitting off pitching, right?
I just feel like it's probably a good bet that he wouldn't be on the team at that point. I don't know why you'd bring anyone up to do what they're making him do right now. And I can't get mad at him for doing what he is doing right now. He had a double again. He launched a couple baseballs in Kansas City last week as well.
He had a double today?
I believe in the ninth inning. Yeah.
Okay.
And then they took him out.
Okay. Yeah. It sucks for Vogie because it's a tough spot for him to be in. Like, 100%. It's a tough spot for him to be in. I'm not going to fault or blame Vogelbach for this team's offensive struggles. That'd be stupid.
Yeah. You can't have the guy with the least plate appearances to blame for.
Yeah. That's a good point. Speaking about AAA and Buffalo and all that, we got to talk about a bright spot. Alek Manoah. Wow. I mean, night and day compared to what we have saw. You and I were watching the game. I watched the first four innings, I want to say. The sinker was up there, 94-95, they were calling it. Is it a sinker? I'm assuming it's a sinker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Striking guys out. The slider was the White Castle special, as Pitching Ninja tabs it. He went toe-to-toe with Paul Skeens and literally went toe-to-toe with him in the game. I think he pitches for this team within the next 10 days. I really do.
Yeah, so if you don't know, Y-Rod back issue again, that two of the same injury to start the season.
Yeah.
That's not good at all. And he got it diving for the ball back up the middle. So Y-Rod on the 15-day IL, they were saying Paulo Espino could be the one.
No.
Well, did you see what happened today? His line?
Yeah, he gave up. He pitched one inning, gave six runs.
I think he went 1 2/3, gave up 8 runs or something like that.
Yeah, against the same
team.
Paulo
Espino cannot be the one coming up before Alek Manoah. And he's on a timer as of next Monday or this Monday as to what to do with him.
I believe this Monday.
Okay.
Because it's 30 days. Sorry, it might be next because the AAA season starts a little bit later, I believe.
Yeah. So depending on when he went on his rehab stint, 30 days, I believe.
Yes.
I also think he's coming back. There is a ton of off days. They have 3 off days in the next 7.
Yeah, so they have tomorrow off, next Thursday off, and this Monday off. Again,
you can line this up as a 4-man rotation pretty easily.
And the thing is, they kind of have a soft spot in the schedule coming up here a little bit. I mean, the Phillies are great.
In 2 weeks, it starts the soft spot.
Yes, I think Manoah starts against the White Sox, maybe, right? Gets his feet wet, probably. I would say
he'd have to be up before then, I believe.
Yeah. But I think he starts against the White Sox.
You desperately need him. All the pitching depth that they had.
It's gone.
Is not available anymore.
Well, Mitch
that
is gone.
That start against Indy was a major league pressure start, I believe. And I think he probably knew that as well. And he came out and he pitched that well. The depth on the slider was insane. Maybe it was just the view we had. That can change in my minor league parks. The depth on the slider looked insane. He looked really good getting ahead. Every single time he missed a fastball, he does the two-hand thing where he says he should be straight down the mound, like get his body working.
He looked
downhill.
Vintage. Looked like vintage him. I know it's AAA pitching, hitting, obviously.
100%. And the Pirates AAA team isn't a team to write home about. It's not the Norfolk Tides we're talking about here.
But that's a team that also shelled Paulo Espino. So it's like he's a better option than Paulo Espino.
That is not a hot take. I think he's up soon. That was really, really good to see because we didn't get a good start before.
Do you think he makes another start in AAA?
Well, I need to just look at the schedule and where they need him.
Because he would go, because he pitched Tuesday, right? He would go on Sunday, which is before his clock runs out.
I think he pitches another game.
And if that's promising, then I might have to start using the B word.
You have Thursday off and Monday off. That's already two. Then you can push to a two-game series with another day off. Like, everything's working out well for him to pitch Sunday and then be ready, like, the Friday after. Twins at home, maybe.
Yeah.
Is an Alec Manoah thing. I don't know how well that lines up, but but that might be the one where we get him back.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But I wanted to talk about the war against six runs. That's the name of this podcast. It's over. We conquered it, but at what cost?
We did not. I don't feel like we conquered it anymore. Back-to-back one runs. It might as well not have happened. I wish we could cheer for six again.
Yeah.
Getting six runs on Monday, one, awesome tweets. Just some of the most fun I'd had tweeting about something in my whole life. Just waking up. What are you going to do to score six runs today? That was a lot of fun. And then just back-to-back ones. You get Cole Reagans. You get beat by Cole Reagans, who is a fantastic arm. That's fine. That's getting beat. Seth Lugo's been really good as well. Thought there's some better opportunities to score runs there. Felt like we never did it. Thought we sold our souls for six runs, and we didn't get to see it again.
We unfortunately did.
Temporarily, the war was over, but we are back on the front lines, brother.
World War II has begun.
If can't do it against Patrick Corbin, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's go on to the news, the announcement. Highly anticipated. We get DMs about this all the time. We have introduced a new segment, Gate 14 After Dark. I know all you listeners out there, all you guys want to be a part of the brand, a part of the Gate 14 way. This is the best way to do it. We will be doing a Twitter space every Wednesday or Thursday before we record. Taking in callers like a certain show they do on Fan 590, but is going to be uncensored, respectfully. You can swear.
It's censored. If you say fuck stuff, you're not going to.
Yeah, yeah. If you say fuck stuff, you're not going to be in it, but you can swear. It's not like us. It's like PG-13. Is that the best way to say it? Can you swear under 13? I'm not sure.
Sure. You can swear, but.
So we will be doing that. And if you miss it, we will be recording it and putting it at the end of every podcast during the week. We're trying to adapt here. We're trying to get better and create more reactionary content for the people, which will be funny clips of us reacting. We'll post clips on the socials about these calls we get, because we're going to have cameras on us while we're taking these calls. It'll be funny stuff. Gate 14 After Dark. You call in, throw your take, you say your question, and then you're gone. That's it. No conversation.
No conversation.
That's it. And it'll be a lot.
We would do the conversation. I need to be able to edit it easily, and that would help me.
That's the easiest way to edit it. So let it fly. Let us know what you guys think. The first one will be next Wednesday night because they have the Thursday off. We'll be recording that. Going from there against the Phillies, and if things are bad, it'll be some electric takes flying off the roof here that we can react to. So I cannot wait for that. So stay tuned for that. And I guess we can go into the weekend series now. I mean, we kind of knocked down everything here. Weekend series Friday. We talked about this earlier. We alluded to this earlier. Credit me for the big word. Patrick Corbin bump day. One of the worst pitchers in the game today. 6.82 ERA. He is 0-3. We got to mash this dude. We have to mash this dude, Avery.
Yeah.
Like no excuses.
Friday is as must win as they come.
I might throw the must win tab on it.
I just did it. I did it.
Okay. Must win. Friday's a must win. Saturday, which is a special day to most, a national holiday, as some would say. Junior's birthday. Kevin Gausman bump day. Again. I don't know. They don't know who's pitching for the Nationals that day, but Kevin Gausman's going Saturday and Sunday, according to Ben Nicholson, my king, is to be announced, but he said Blue Jays need a starting pitcher. Alek Manoah's rehab window about to end, and Manoah just put together his best AAA start of the – okay, so Manoah might go Sunday.
Okay, that would make sense. That would mean his window might be up Monday, and I'm just off.
Okay, yeah, so Sunday we might be seeing Alek Manoah versus the Nationals. So we got Kikuchi, Gausman.
Pitcher that day. Anyone?
They haven't announced it.
Okay, I think we get to miss Mackenzie Gore, which is good.
Yes. So 2-1 series win. I think that loss would be detrimental to Blue Jays Twitter if they lose one of these games. Safe to say.
The Nats are doing some good things.
They are. They look fine. I mean, Jesse Winker's look great. CJ Abrams rocks.
Superstar.
That dude's a superstar. Leading the team in home runs. He'd be leading the Jays in home runs, actually. So shortstop freak of nature. Like I said, Jesse Winker's been good. You got to take 2 or 3 here, man. You got to.
Yeah, unacceptable not to. These are some of the soft parts that you need to take advantage of. Not that the Nats are the worst team in the world, but you need to win 2 of 3.
Yeah, and then, folks, we're getting close to that soft spot. We got White Sox, Tigers, White Sox, Pirates. Like, now we got to go. Now we got to go. We got to start stringing together wins. And fans, just to think, this team was 500 in 2022 and made the playoffs, okay? I know it sucks to watch right now. You can be reactionary. You can chirp all you want, say this team sucks, all that. I get it. You can do that. But, again, we can turn some of this shit around here, and it starts this weekend at National Park in Washington. 6:40 start Friday, by the way.
Apple TV, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, my God. You don't like seeing the strikeout probability? In the top,
yeah, get ready to learn hit probability, buddy.
Yeah, get ready to learn hit probability. So we'll be watching that. Everyone have a great week. Anything else, Avery, for the people? I mean, this is I think we were fair, this podcast. We were fair.
Long year. Wasn't a fun homestand. Both can be true.
2-6 or 2-4 on the homestand. Not going to do it.
Nope. Not good at all.
But we got to bounce back. That's all that matters. Got to turn this around. We will see you guys later. Make sure you guys download Sports Interaction. And let's have ourselves a weekend. Let's enjoy the weekend. The weather is starting to get beautiful.
Today was nice.
Today was beautiful. And we will see you guys Sunday night. Before the Philly series. Hopefully the vibes are a little bit better. Love you guys. Gate 14 forever. Let's have ourselves a weekend.